Hey, it's Ryan.
And Karina.
This podcast is meant to encourage you to live for more than the status quo. You don't have to fit the mold of how our culture tells you you're supposed to live. And we also want to inspire you to live beyond your circumstances. Your past doesn't define you. There's hope for your future, and God is with you right where you're at. Now join us as we live life
upside down.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever it is for you. Welcome to Life Upside Down, the podcast. I'm Ryan with my beautiful wife and co-host,
Karina.
And we are so excited to get into it with you today. Karina, can you tell us what we talked about on the last episode?
Okay, last episode, we shared our story on how we were good friends, and then we just unexpectedly fell into God's plan and got married. Wow. Out of nowhere, unexpectedly. And then today we're going to jump into our I do.
Our I do, those early years of marriage. You know, before we get rolling, I just want to say that, you know, you may hear us talk a lot about like kind of hearing from God, and we felt like God told us this or that. And, you know, maybe you are, you know, you're not in a relationship with God, or you have questions and you're like, what does all this mean? You know, we believe that we can connect with the God of the universe. And knowing who I was before Jesus and seeing where I'm at now, like, I just know that anybody and everybody can meet God, and they can experience God, and they can hear from God. And a lot of times it just takes us opening up our hearts and being mindful, just being mindful of the ways that he can speak to us in our lives. And oftentimes we get really distracted with the world. There's just a lot of things going on. And so, you know, if you hear, you know, hear us talk about, oh, we heard from God and he said this or that, like, I just want to encourage you to really seek that out if you know, a relationship with God is not something you've ever thought about, because I'm telling you, it is the best decision that I've ever made. Karina, probably for you too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And so I just encourage you, there's hope in Christ. And so now let's start getting into those early years of marriage. And, you know, we kind of came in naive, right?
Yeah, we thought it was going to be all rainbow and sunshine on the other side.
Oh yeah, and there was plenty of clouds in there to block that sunshine in the beginning stages. But I just remember, you don't really hear about those moments where, you know, you move in with the opposite sex for the first time, even when you're in love, right? Those initial feelings, they can kind of die out. And so I want us to talk a little bit about those things that maybe can get under our skin a little bit about living with the opposite sex. So do you want to open it up?
Sure. I'll share a few fun things.
A few fun things. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. The very first thing I noticed right away moving in with Ryan was that he does not put the seat down.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
he leaves it up. And at first, it wasn't a big deal. It was, you know, I was like, oh, okay.
Because I was still cute, right?
Please. Yeah, I still had those little butterflies and those feelings. But I was like, okay, could you just try to remember? And, you know.
You know my memory's bad.
He never did. So he never did. And then, I mean.
It actually sparked the war of 2014. And it was a toilet seat war. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I got pretty fed up with it because
it got
to the point where I think I had to get up to go to the restroom early in the morning. I'm talking like maybe 4 or 5 a.m. I was half asleep and I fell in and I was like, you know, and it hurt. And I'm just like, if you would have just put the seat down, none of this would have happened. And
well, you
Ryan
know what?
Challenged
I
me.
I challenged her because I was like, well, hey, it's not as easy as you think. Why don't you put the seat up for me so I don't have to put it up? So that was when the war of 2014, the toilet seat war, began between us. And I'm pretty sure I won that
by
war.
By one. We had a deadline, like a date and a time.
And we posted
and
on social media.
I went to the restroom. I was the last one. And the rules were like, once you walk out of the bathroom, you step out.
It's over.
You can't go back and redo it. Like, oh, let me put it down. It's like you step out. That's a point. So I step out of the bathroom and I was like, gosh darn it. And then I think it was 12 midnight and yeah.
Yeah. So I won that little competition we had. And I just proved I'm a little bit more courteous than you are. Sorry, honey.
And believe it or not, I haven't complained about it.
That's true.
Maybe I'll just suggest it here and there.
And now we have three other boys to make sure the seat doesn't
I've been telling them.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I understand if you never had that habit, but my boys will have that habit.
All right. So that's one thing. Let's see. One of yours is the hair. Like, so she does this thing where she balls up her hair in the shower and then she like puts it on the wall and it's this big giant wig. Which I'm guessing maybe she's
dramatic. Dropping.
We could maybe save that because honestly, I'm 32. My hairline is starting to recede. So maybe we should start saving that for myself. But
here's the thing. Okay. So that's a technique. So you grab all the hair that comes, you know, falls out and you make it into a ball and you stick it on the wall. So that way you can just grab it when you're done and throw it away. But there are times where I have four kids who need me or a needy husband who needs me. And it's a quick in and out of the shower, and I forget sometimes.
Okay. We'll give you a pass on that one.
Okay. What about as soon as I clean the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Squeaky clean, smells fresh and clean. That's the time that Ryan thinks it's a perfect time to shave his beard and leaves it all over the sink. And when I ask him to clean it up, you could see the trace of his hand where he tried swiping it into the drain, but there's still hair everywhere else and sometimes on the floor.
There's a science behind it. I saw this the other day on the internet, and you know the internet's reliable. There's actually these little hair receptacles in our beards, and like it can sense the bleach in the air. And at that moment, they're like we just feel like we gotta cut our beard hairs. So there's like little receptacles in there.
So I should use a different cleaner.
So anytime
cleaner.
You clean,
if
you
I should clean, use a different cleaner.
Maybe. I don't know. Fabuloso or something, maybe?
No.
So, and I'll be honest, like beard hairs are really hard to control and clean up. They're just like little tiny, at least yours is just a nice big ball and you just throw it away. So anyway, those are fun. Do you remember?
Oh, here's another one.
Tell the funny
here's
story
another
when
one.
We first were married.
So I don't sleep talk. I don't think I do.
Oh, I do.
Do I sleep talk? Okay,
no.
I've never experienced someone sleep talk so much in my life. So one day, I convinced Ryan to watch High School Musical with me. This was a few years ago. And
gotta love Troy.
He complained forever, like, no, I don't want to. That's so dumb. Da, da, da. Whatever. It's a cute love story. And then Ryan watches it the whole time with me. And he didn't fall asleep, which that's a shocker because he falls asleep. If he didn't fall asleep, I feel like it must have gotten his attention. Or he thought it was so stupid, he just couldn't stop watching it. But he goes to bed that night and he starts singing, "We're All in This Together."
Did you want me to give you a little?
Go for it.
We're all in this. Okay, I'm done. That's all you get.
So that was something that I had to get used to.
Oh, I remember that. That was funny. I sleep talk a lot. So anyway, those are just a few fun stories from the beginning. And the stories weren't all funny. We'll just jump in and... Early on in our marriage, like right from the get-go, there was a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, I think we came in naive, and I think that's a common thing because, you know, as much as we learn from like premarital counseling, you learn all this knowledge, there's like really nothing like just getting in there and learning.
Yeah,
and
no one can really tell you what you're going to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to live through your own trials together, and you can only get so much advice and so much counseling on how to handle certain topics, but no one can warn you for sure what you're going to go through. And I, you know, we did a marriage counseling for a young couple. And I think we made it really clear to them, like, hey, we don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you something is going to happen. And I just believe it's because just getting married, it's such a strong covenant before God. It's a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's like there are people who live together for many years or date for so long. And I mean, do everything right that you would do in marriage, except they're not married officially. And as soon as you get married and make it official, it's like all these trials just come at you. Things that you didn't have to deal with before when you were just dating or, you know, and there's no coincidence for that. It's like once you make that covenant, you are going to get attacked.
Yeah, and it's like it is like a physical thing, right? Where we're declaring to the physical world that, you know, I commit to this person. But it's also, it is a spiritual thing. And the Bible actually talks about marriage in a very serious manner. And it's kind of like man and woman, they become one and they're like, they bear the image of God. And so it's this very holy thing.
A very symbolic thing.
Symbolic, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's a very spiritual thing. So we came in, we had some serious conflict and
right away
some issues and situations that we came in not thinking were going to be a big deal, and they became a really big deal.
Well, because they weren't a big deal before, and that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, everything's good. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and then you make that covenant and then boom,
yeah,
something then, that was fine just
yeah. And so there was a lot of conflicts, a lot of arguing, right? But for me, the thing that I like learned, as I've talked about in previous episodes, when I gave my life to God, was that love is a choice. And so I felt a very strong call as the husband that I was going to pursue reconciliation, right? And so in our arguments, I was usually the pursuer. Karina, what would you say you were?
I was a fight or flight mode.
Except it was kind of both. I always say she like fought me, right? She just like fought me.
I threw some punches.
And then she would run away. And then...
No, I really didn't. I just...
Not literally.
I put my guard up and just, I had to get away. I had to flee.
She builds those walls so fast.
I build them real fast.
Yeah. So I'm there with my like sledgehammer trying to like knock down the walls and be like, Karina, come on. We need to talk about this. She's over there trying to run away. Remember that time you wanted to go to Kearney? She was like really upset about something. She tried to go to Kearney and I was just really persistent, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. I'm the kind of person that when I am mad or I'm feeling not so good feelings, I have to like step away. Because I know that in those moments with those feelings, I can say something that I'll regret or act out because of them. So I just need my space.
Yeah. And I think sometimes those are the moments where, you know, our past traumas as well. I just think about how, you know, your dad left when you were 7. And it's like, I feel like you sometimes would build up those walls to just try to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think those are things.
Like I wouldn't let you hurt me.
Yes.
To an extent. So I have to walk away kind of thing. And I.
Yeah. So early on in our conflict, I was just very persistent. And I just remember being just many times just pursuing Karina and saying, Karina, we got to figure this out. And, you know, I don't think we went to bed mad at each other until like 4 years into our marriage. And, you know, the Bible talks about don't let the sun go down on your anger and things like that. And I think that's where a lot of marriages do get in trouble because you start not only going to bed mad, but just not resolving things, right? Not talking things through. You sweep it under the rug. And like the reality is those things are still there like years down the road if you don't take care of them. And then before you know it, it's like, you know, people are getting divorced and they don't necessarily understand why. But
because you have a whole wall of like past pain that was getting piled on each other for years that was never resolved. And then next thing you know, it's so easy to have a grudge against someone.
Yeah.
From little things that didn't seem like a big deal, but it was. And then, you know, it's just like little less trust.
Even the little things mm-hmm. that you don't think about. And so, you know, in those early years, I just pursued Karina really hard. And I think that was God because like, you know, there was a lot of times where I don't even think I necessarily wanted to because I love going to bed early. And I'll tell you this. There is nothing worse than those late night fights, you know, those arguments where you're just getting heated and it's like, you know, getting to 11, 12, 1, 2. I remember those nights.
Well, I'm very stubborn.
Yes, you are.
So, I mean, Ryan probably started, you know, we need to talk about this at like 10 p.m. and then 1 a.m. comes around and he's like, we need to talk about
this. I'm still trying to break her walls down and she's trying to keep them up.
I'm like three layers.
You'd be good at Fortnite building all those walls so fast. So I would just pursue her and, but again, it was God because I hated those late night fights. Like I hated them in a sense of like, you know, my natural instinct is like, I just want to go to bed, but there was something inside me. That's where I was in I was in some pretty deep fellowship with God at that season in my life too. And I think he really gave me that conviction of, Ryan, this is your responsibility. You are in charge of working this out and having grace for Karina and, you know, pursuing her. And I'm grateful that God did that, because, you know, the old Ryan, I never would have done that. Like, from that where I'm just like, nope, we're not going to go to bed. To what I was before, like, that was a very different, like, a stark contrast. The other thing about that is that I think I realized that we didn't have to solve the issue in the moment, right? I really want to touch on this piece. This is very important, I think. There was moments where we had this issue and the issue was still there and it wasn't going away anytime soon. But I would come to Karina and be like, Karina, we chose to love each other. Again, that was the greatest thing I learned when I first got saved. Love was a choice. And I would say, I know we're really mad and this issue is not necessarily figured out yet, but we have to make a choice to come together right now and have grace on each other, even though that issue would later come up again and again and it would rear its head. But in that moment, like, and I think that's why it's so important for us to be in tune with God, because one thing about you that I learned is that even when you throw your fits,
I throw fits a lot.
You kick and scream, you're willing to humble yourself. And, you know, in those first few years of marriage, you humbled yourself every single time when you were hurt by me, when you were angry, when we were going through it, in those moments. And I remember those, like, I remember when I would see the walls coming down and she was upset and you realized that this issue was still there. And then I remember, like, when we would just embrace. And it was like, even though this is still going on, I choose to love you. And that was really amazing. And I think that's such an important piece for you out there. Maybe you're married, maybe you're dating, whatever it is. Like, you need to understand that there are some issues that may not be resolved in the moment. There's going to be lingering things. I've found that in 10 years of marriage, we have some lingering things. But that's where the grace of God comes in. When we realize what Jesus Christ did for us and that we don't deserve the love that he gave us, those are the moments where we can extend that grace to our spouse.
And choose to love unconditionally. So
yeah,
there are times where I was, like, you know, a big brat, and Ryan would just look at me straight in the eye and be like, you know, we may not feel all these feelings, you know, lovey-dovey feelings and all these good feelings, but I'm still going to choose to love you. Because, you know, Ryan would be mad too, because when I try to flee and, like, leave, it's because I'm so mad and I don't want to say anything. Ryan would, I mean, poke at me and follow me.
Poke and prod.
Oh, and there were times where I would just say things that I didn't mean, because I was just so caught up in those emotions, and I would, you know, apologize later when I was calmed down and like admit, you know, that wasn't right of me. But I would say, and I could tell it hurt him, and he would still look at me and say, I still love you. I'm still going to love you. And that spoke a lot to me. Like, that just showed me this real love. Because all I've known in my life was just, you know, you're loved if you give something in return, or if you deserve it, or
perform well.
Yeah, it was always conditional. But unconditional love is just, you know, what God has for us. Ryan displayed that so well for me when he kept pursuing me and reminding me our vows and saying, through thick or thin, you know, till death does do us part. Like, he was constantly reminding me, I'm also mad at you, I'm also hurt by you, but I still love you, and I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere.
And I think an important piece to this too, for, you know, you listening too, is, like, I realize that we react out of our trauma more than we even realize. Early on, some of that pursuit, which I think was a good thing, I think it came from my parents' divorce. And even still to this day, sometimes Karina will like say something or she might be upset. And there's this, the little boy inside of me that is a little bit like, is she leaving? Is she going to go? Could this be it? Like there's, I still have some of that. And I think that is a little bit of what the motivation was. And I don't even realize it. And even until just now, I realized like there was part of me that's like terrified of getting divorced based on what I saw. That was like the thing. I don't want that. And so it caused me the trauma. And that's where God can use, he can use like the hard, difficult, bad things in life. It says he uses the good for those of who, he uses all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And it's like, you know, my parents' divorce, right? Like he, in some way, he used that to propel me to just pursue you so hard, you know?
Well, and he didn't cause it, but he can redeem anything and use it for good.
And now it's our greatest testimony. We both come from divorced homes. And it's just like, it's just so cool when I look at those first couple years of marriage and the conflict, like serious, hard conflict, guys. Like, it was really hard. And it took a lot of God's grace and a lot of God working through me and working through Karina to kill our pride, to kill our anger, in order to overcome that and come out on the other side. Honestly, I think that is part of the reason we had such a strong marriage, you know, so early on, is because right away we were in the midst of a lot of conflict. And so I love it because, you know, both come from a divorced home and we have an amazing marriage. Yeah.
Statistically, we're supposed to end up the same way as our parents did because that's all we've known. That's all we've seen. And I think it's really interesting. It's really awesome that the same thing that tore you apart when you were little, divorce, marriage, I guess, right? Like your parents,
yeah,
marriage falling apart, and how God uses that same thing and gave you an amazing marriage. So like the same thing that broke you was like the same thing that God almost gave back to you and like just made it so much better, and you're displaying it so much differently. And yep. And I just think it's amazing.
Yeah, same to you. I mean, you know, your parents got divorced too. And so, yeah, that was, you know, early on conflict resolution.
Right away.
Was a huge one. Next was we started having kids, right?
Yeah.
So part of the life upside down idea was birthed when we started thinking about how we kind of, from the get-go, we started our family. And I recently came up with this little saying. It's like, you know, from the beginning of our marriage, we built our life around our family rather than building our family around our life, right? I think it's common, or what we might think is the standard is like, you go to college, you get a good job, you meet someone, maybe date a year or two, you get married, then you start having kids. Like this, there's this process. And from the beginning, me and Karina felt a strong call to just start our family. We didn't necessarily have everything figured out, but we just knew that God was calling us to family. I know I had a strong conviction personally that we were going to have like a marriage ministry or a family ministry of some kind. I would listen to like Family Life and focus on the family a lot. And I just love the idea of the family unit. And so I had this strong conviction like we're going to have some kind of family ministry together. So early on, we decided that we were going to build our life around our family rather than our family around our life.
So to me, what that speaks is instead of doing the system way and trying to have everything figured out before you have a family, we decided to jump in and have a family because that was the only thing at, what, how old were we? I was 20 when we got married. You were 22. So we're still pretty young. All we knew was we want a big family. We want a family. We don't know what we want to be quite yet. You know, we don't really know our purpose yet, but we do know we want to have a family. So we have a family and we just kind of work life around that. You know, our careers, our passions, it has to go revolve around our kids, around our family first. So it's not like we have to squeeze our kids in and see where we can fit them in with our career, you know, our jobs, you know, and then we give our kids whatever we have left, you know, time left, you know, it's no, our kids come first. Our family comes first, and then everything else comes after.
Yeah, and part of that was, you know, I remember you saying you kind of felt like we just got to have two incomes, right? Like, it's just normal. You got two working adults, mm-hmm. and you put your kids in daycare, right? And before you had Shiloh, I remember you saying you kind of felt like that's just the way it was going to be. Yeah. And kind of talk about after
and,
that.
And nothing wrong with that. It's just that yeah. that's all I've known. That's all you hear about. Like, that's the only mold that gets displayed for you. It's like you, both parents have to have, like, good jobs, two incomes. It, trust me, it helps if you have two incomes. Yeah. Like, it is nice.
Yeah.
But it's not always the best solution when you have a family, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so that's just kind of the, you know, just to say, like, that was our reality. Yeah. We both saw that. Like, that's what we saw growing
so,
up.
So here we are just kind of, I don't know, just experimenting. So all I've known was, okay, we both have to work and we have to put our kids in daycare, you know, 8 to 5, 8 to 3, whatever time. And then when they're old enough, you kind of have to just, you know, wait till they go to public school and then you don't have to worry about daycare anymore. So that was just kind of the system I had in my head. So we're over here planning a family and we're already getting ourselves prepared for all this. Like, we already, you know, we already know, okay, we're going to go to work. We're going to have the baby. He's going to go to daycare because that's all we know.
Yep.
And then we have a little boy, Shiloh. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but in our last episode, we mentioned how while Ryan was pursuing me and I was running away.
When you were praying about both
when I was
guys.
Praying about it, yeah. Yeah. Ryan was boldly texting me like, hey, I had a dream that we had a boy named Shiloh. And yeah, and so here we are, you know, October 3rd, 2014, we have our first son, Shiloh Mason. And although we already thought we had a plan, it was really hard for me. And it wasn't something that I really thought about. I feel like it was just a God thing, but as soon as I had him, I just couldn't get myself to put him in daycare or honestly even just leave him with anyone. Like, I know your mom babysat a few times because
we had to do that for just a little bit.
Yeah. So Ryan and I ended up doing opposite shifts. So he could be with him when I was working. And then when I got home, he went straight to work. And then weekends were always strictly family time so we could see each other. But there were times where our work schedules went over a little, and so grandma would help. But it was hard because you have this, it's like you plan for careers and everything, like, you know, you get told go to college to be someone, be like, go do all this, but like no one prepares you or really tells you what you experience when you become a parent. Like, I have this baby, I'm so madly in love with him, and I feel like I have so much to know about him, and like this great personality that I just want to know more about. It's like I fell in love with you, but I don't know you and I want to know you. But yeah, I have to like drop you off and never see you for you know, so it was really hard for me. And I remember Ryan and I both felt that way. And so it was hard because we had to experiment. Well, what can we do? We have no blueprint. We didn't even have like examples or families that were doing it differently.
Yeah. yeah. So we, from the get go, after we kind of, Karina had that little experience, we were just like, let's do whatever we can. And we're going to, you know, one of us is always going to be with our kids. And so that's what we did. I ended up working in overnight. And then it was a situation when I would get off, I'd watch the kid, Shiloh while Karina worked. And then we would just trade off. And I think that actually helped cultivate a strong, like, teamwork culture in our marriage. This life that I'm living, I cannot comprehend it. Cause I should have been living alone in the streets or in my mother's basement. But Christ came and took my heart and he changed it. Now I got beautiful kids and my wife and I might as well have best friend bracelets. And we praise him for what he did in our relationship. Should have never ended up together, but he made a way, not thank him. And I'm praying that I don't wake up, cause if this is fake, there's no way real life could equate to this love. My God and my family are all I need.
and sing along with me. Come sing with me. Living the good life, good living with kids and a good wife. Good wife. Feeling like I'm living in a dream.
There's like this idea of 50-50.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with that. I feel like it should be 100 and 100. You know what I mean? There were times where when Ryan was home with Shiloh or Shiloh and Cohen, like he would still be doing things at home. He's not just at home slacking off and being lazy. Like he would like play with them. He would help pick up if there was laundry needed and he got to it. If, you know, if he had time, he'd get to it. He would cook dinner and then I would come home super exhausted because, you know, I'm tired. I just got off work. And it just took off such a big load off my shoulders. And you just helped me a lot, you know. And I thought that was amazing. I've never experienced that. I never witnessed that, like, from my parents alone, especially with the culture we come from. It's the man does this and the woman does this. And this is where the woman belongs.
Yeah.
And this is what, like, basically this is all you're good for. And the man does not cook. The man doesn't even touch, like, step foot in the kitchen. And so when you were doing those things, it just blew my mind and it was amazing. And then when Ryan would be, you know, at work, I would do the same thing. I would serve him in that way because I would put myself in his position. I'm like, okay, when I come home, it is so nice to not have to do anything or like worry about anything.
Yeah.
And so I would make sure that things were done for him to just come and decompress from work.
Yeah, so that was really, I think that was another powerful thing for us in our marriage is like early on, we were forced to figure out the teamwork. And I think that's so much of what marriage is teamwork. And so next, just kind of getting into where, you know, we're kind of just working jobs to get, just to pay the bills, right? We don't really necessarily have this long-term view. And then that's where you kind of started feeling like, hey, I want to start pursuing something more.
Yeah, so I went to Kearney, but I, you know, what are they called? Your generals, like it, I mean, it doesn't do anything for you. So I don't really know what I want to do yet though. So, you know, I'm not going to go back if I don't know.
Back to college.
But, yeah. Back to college until I know, because at this point I'm already paying student loan debt. And anyways, but before I went to college, so I was already doing management work. Like I was a manager for a small retail. So I had that management
experience
and title. So I just used that. So I worked retail as a manager assistant manager. And I was just doing what I knew. And that was good for me, you know, as a single girl, right? Like 19 year old, and then even 20 before I was married, that was a pretty good. But then here we are married. I have a baby and we were starting to.
We had Shiloh.
And we were starting to talk about another one because we wanted to have two close. We didn't. Yeah. We both had siblings. Well, I had one that was close and I had one that was not so close. And I was like, I want him to have someone close. So, but we're like, okay, well, we need to figure out job because we have to have something that pays us more.
Yep.
So then.
Kids are expensive, just so we're clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we got four. Yeah.
But it's possible.
it is.
So God then I start looking into what kind of job can I do that's not like super hard or that I don't have to go to school for because like I don't know what to do yet. But it pays decent. So I start looking into healthcare. And then originally, I was going to Kearney for like dentistry, only because my brother had given me the idea, and like he actually wanted me to be a dentist. So which
you kind of
wanted
to, you kind of wanted to honor him.
I wanted to do well. It was like he kind of played that, gave me that idea, and I was really against it when he did. I was like, oh, that's gross. Who wants to work with mouths? but then as I went to Kearney, I'm like, you know, it's not a bad idea, and. And I don't know. Honestly, I don't find it a coincidence that my brother spoke that into my life. It's like he knew or something. But anyways, so then I'm like, you know, I'm going to look into healthcare. I look into dental assisting. You know, it's something, you know, reachable, pretty, you know, pretty simple. I could do it, you know. So then I look at Hastings College. They have the program for dental assisting, and I think it's 18 months, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So I have quite a few friends who do it. And so I was kind of asking questions, you know, do you like it? What don't you like about it? Whatever. It seemed like a really a good career to have, even for the meantime, until I do figure out what I want to do. So then I go to Hastings. I get a tour of the school. I was going to sign up and register. But I talked to one of my friends who was actually in the program. Because I had to wait till the program was over for me. Because they were in the middle of it. So, but I had a friend who was in that program, but she was also assisting. And so I was like, how is that possible, right? She's in school, but she's already working. So then I asked her, and she was telling me how certain states, you don't have to have, you don't have to be
a certificate.
Like certified for it. But you do have to be trained. But Nebraska is one of those states where you don't technically have to be certified. But it's still kind of hard because to find a place that's willing to hire you or have the funds to
train you.
Yeah, train you. Yeah. While they're trying to get business going, it's kind of hard. So then she told me that while she was in the program, she had an interview. She applied and they gave her a job as almost kind of like an internship. You know what I mean? Because she was being taught at school. But in the meantime, she's training and she's getting hands on.
Yeah.
So that's why they gave her the job. So she recommended that I would go and apply places because it wasn't guaranteed that I would even get a call right away. And if I did get an interview before I started the program, to just mention, hey, I'm enrolled. I'm going to, you know, do the program. Are you willing to let me just kind of watch and learn along with everyone kind of thing? So I applied at this big corporate place, dental place. And I had an interview, and I just remember, like, everything was going well, everything was going good, and she, you know, she liked me, the office manager did, and then it came time to, like, she was asking me, well, how many years do you have of experience?
Zero.
And I was like, actually, and then I was like, you know, I'm actually enrolling in the program, it's almost over, and it's going to start, and I was hoping that you guys would let me, like, train me while I was in school, if that was something you're interested or you guys do. And she was telling me that they don't normally do that. But she said that she liked me so much that she was going to give me a shot. So then I was going to get sent away to Sioux City for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And that was, like, their big main office. So they had enough people to work while I was training.
Yeah.
So... and then I did have to get x-ray certified. So that was like a 3-day course thing. But so I went away for 2 weeks, and basically she told me the deal was that I had to learn everything in 2 weeks, plus maybe 3 weeks because of the week in the office. But so I had to learn everything, 18 months. I mean, memorize instruments, memorize like procedures.
Like the trumpet?
Everything.
No, not those.
Okay. No, like all the forceps. You have to know everything. So
give me the coolest name. Hold real quick. The coolest name of the instrument that you know.
I don't know. There's like the cow horn, it's a forceps.
How about a ronger?
Or a ronger.
I like the way it rolls off the tongue.
Ronger. The Luxator.
Luxator. They're so cool. So
they
cool.
Sound so scary. So then she said that the goal was that I would get everything down because there was going to be a new dentist starting. And the goal was that he would not be able to tell that I was trained.
Okay.
So if I came back and they didn't feel like I had it quite down, they're going to have to let me go.
Uh-oh.
But if I did, then they'll keep me.
So what happened?
So it was a lot of pressure. Well, I had the job after 2 weeks, and it was doable. I mean, it was very hard. I shed a lot of tears because you work with all kinds of doctors, military, non-military.
Mm-hmm.
It was scary. But I did it, and I ended up getting the job. I kept it, and they really enjoyed me. And, the doctor was great, and we had a blast.
Yeah, and I just want to honor you because, you know, growing up, I didn't have the greatest work ethic, you know, in high school and stuff. And, you know, I don't think even at this point I quite understood that you could, like, do things even though you didn't have experience. Like, I just struggled with small-mindedness a little bit early on in our marriage, and... So just to see you go do something brand new and you just like put yourself out there. I don't know anything about Rongers and Luxators, but I'm going to figure it out.
I'm willing to learn.
Yes. That's all I need. That's a really cool thing about you that you've actually taught me over the years. And I think it's just a great lesson in life. You know, for you listening, like, you can learn new things. And especially with YouTube, I mean, you know, after we bought this house, no experience doing construction stuff, I redid our kitchen through YouTube. I mean, you can learn anything.
Maybe start with like a smaller project.
Yeah, not the kitchen. It only took us like 2 months.
And we didn't have a kitchen for 2 months, but it's beautiful now.
The point is like, don't be afraid to try something new. And I'm going to get into some of that stuff and how Karina encouraged me to do what she did there as a dental assistant. But that was a really cool moment.
By encourage, he means like a kick in the butt.
Kicked me in the butt. And I was like, you have no choice. Are you going to be on the streets?
No, I think that's interesting that you say that, because I just feel like we, like, if you guys heard our stories, we just come from two different places. And Ryan was kind of just almost handed things to him, you know? He didn't really have to work really hard for things. And then here I am, like, I don't really have my parents. So if I want something, I have to work for it, you know? And it's, even till this day, I feel like sometimes Ryan, I mean, you've gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
But at first, it was so hard, because in my mentality is like, you don't know how to do it, then figure it out. Like, just figure it out. Do it. You know, it's
makes sense.
I'm a really hard worker. And Ryan's really afraid of, well,
it's,
not
it's
anymore,
afraid
but
of failure.
You were really afraid of failure. It was like he didn't want to try because he couldn't handle that. And to me, it's like, well, if you don't try, you already failed. You know, how can you fail if you keep trying, because you're not really done? Or I see it as like, you have a 50-50 chance of succeeding if you try. But if you don't try, you have a 0% chance of succeeding.
Yeah, and we're going to get into some more of that, just, you know, those lessons I've learned in the next episode. But shall we jump to me starting to feel that call? So we got two kids now, Shiloh and Cohen.
New career.
Karina's kind of got a new career path in dental, and you know, I'm still just, I think I was maybe working that overnight at that point still. And I just kind of started to feel this itch to move to Bellevue. And I think it was a God thing. You know, at this point, I was spending a lot of time in prayer and Bible study. And I would do some fasts. I had some really crazy experiences. Like, you know, I did a 3-day fast a couple different times, and God spoke to me very clearly in different moments during this season. And I just remember, so to give some context, in 2012, I moved out here to Bellevue by myself, and I got connected at a church, Bellevue Christian Center. And it was just like a really, that was where I met the Lord. And then they just helped build a strong foundation in me in that season in my life. And so then me and Karina reconnected the next spring. I moved back to Grand Island. And so then we were living in Grand Island, but I just felt like God was like, I think it's time for us to go to Bellevue. Karina didn't feel that so much.
No. And at this time we have a 2-year-old and a, what, 7-month-old.
Yeah.
We have two kids. I have this career that I've been kind of working. I'm trying to pursue getting deeper into. I also had a second part-time job. I was helping a friend who managed a retail store, and so she needed help because she was short staffed. So anyway, so I was doing two jobs. Ryan's giving me this pitch like, hey, I think God is kind of hinting that we're supposed to move to Bellevue. And I'm like, tell me how, because if this is one of those crazy
you, Ryan ideas
that you've had,
like traveling the world,
or just a feeling because you're bored in Grand Island, like, I'm not gonna move just because of that. I need to know. But Ryan kept saying, you know, God, once again, I feel like God's telling me. I'm like, well, if it's God, he would tell me too. So I'll wait till God tells me.
Oh, did he tell you?
Yeah, well, and then you suggested, like, well, why don't you just apply at Omaha or Bellevue? And, like, if a door opens, then it's God. Like, that's God telling you. But I legitimately did not have time to apply, because it was a process. Like, I mean, you have to do a whole application. I had two jobs. And then when I was not working, I just wanted to be mom and play with my kids and spend time. And I was tired. So I'm like, Ryan, I don't have time. I literally don't have time. I can't.
And jump forward to this day that we were heading out to Kearney. I had connected with a guy over music, and I was just kind of, you know, excited. We were going to go out and meet him, hang out with him and his daughter. And so we were at the gas station going, about to head out to Kearney. And I remember hearing this just soft voice. And I just feel like it was saying, whatever happens in Kearney, just trust me. And it was so subtle. And I just remember thinking like, huh, I wonder what that means. And I didn't really think much of it. Maybe I thought like, oh, maybe I'll make a strong connection with the music here or something. But I just remember that whatever happens in Kearney, trust me.
And he forgot to tell me this, so.
Yeah.
He just kept it to himself.
I told you later. But
later when it was after, when this something happened.
So whatever that something was. So Karina, you can dive into it.
Okay, so this guy that's supposed to meet with Ryan for music purposes is running behind from work. So we end up going to a park nearby while he's running late. And we're just kicking a soccer ball with Shiloh. And then it quickly escalated to a Ryan and Karina competition because we're very competitive. And what's really annoying about Ryan, guys, you would understand where I was at. But Ryan is that guy who's just good at everything he does. And it's the most annoying thing. Like, I played soccer all 4 years of high school. And I had to work my butt off to be decent or good. And Ryan just, oh, yeah, I played soccer in seventh grade or sixth grade. Yeah, so. Does a rainbow over his head. Does these cool tricks. Juggles forever. I'm just, like, annoyed and sick of it. Okay, so we're playing. He's freaking good. I'm annoyed. And then finally, I'm like, I'm going to kick this ball so freaking hard that it's going to, like, whoa, blow him away.
Just blow the ball. Explodes just from the sheer power.
So I plant my leg. I plant my left leg really, like, intensely. And then I twist my body to kick this ball really hard. And I pop my knee. My knee got dislocated.
Oh, boy.
It went out of place. My kneecap was on the side of my leg. You hear him saying this now, but when it happened, he told me I was dramatic.
I did. I don't know that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I about killed him, but he's like, yeah, I couldn't walk.
I don't think I understood the severity.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, I fall to the ground because, you know, my leg.
I'm all like, get up. Anyways. You're making a scene. Come on.
You were not. I did not say that. Anyways, it was really painful. And anyways, I end up in crutches and a boot. Luckily, I didn't need surgery. That's a miracle. I think I just broke like a little piece of a fragment of bone, but yeah. I didn't tear anything. So anyways, I'm off work for 2 weeks. And as I'm there laying in bed with a big boot, swollen leg, Ryan goes, do you remember when you said that you couldn't apply anywhere because you had two jobs and you didn't have time? He's like, well, you're kind of stuck in bed. You got time.
And that's your excuse now, Karina.
Really annoyed. I'm like, seriously? Like, I was just annoyed. But I was like, Ryan, okay, fine. And I was like, I'll do it now. I'll show you. I'm like, no one's going to hire a crippled girl with a boot and crutches. So I apply at this oral surgery place in Omaha. And I got a call like the next day right away. And got asked to interview. Ryan got super excited. Was like, I told you, this is a sign. God wants us to move. And I'm like, Ryan, you need to chill out. I was like, I'm going to show up with a boot, a freaking boot on my leg. They're not going to hire me. It's just an interview. So we drove to Omaha. And I interviewed. The doctor seemed great. He liked us. We liked him. It was great. I mean, it went great, but I was still kind of like, I'm probably not going to get it.
There were no more excuses to be had, Karina.
Well, I had,
like,
an email. No, I had an email right away offering me a job and a pay, which was, like, honestly double what I made. It was amazing. It was, like, a dream job for me.
And yeah, like when we think about where we started, like, even just the beginning when we first got married and the jobs that we had and you had. Yeah, that was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, just to see that progression.
Yeah, and that even that was like another, I feel like my skills escalated because going from like general dentistry to oral surgery, like working with medicine.
Tell
and
us why
with...
you like that so much. And explain.
I just love.
What is it like being in that surgery room?
Oh, just, it's just, I don't know. I love the intensity. I know you're not technically doing as much as you would in general dentistry where you're always handing things, but it's almost like the pressure of like people are sedated. So, you know, there's always risks. And then, I don't know. I love seeing inside, like what you can't see normally. Oh, I love seeing Ryan's face. It's so gross.
The bloody
out.
Guts and pulp. She's just like,
it is hilarious. When I came home telling Ryan, like, Ryan, I'm so obsessed. I think I even shed a tear. I actually shed
the pulp
tears.
When you saw the pulp in the.
Okay, no,
tooth.
I saw this tooth split perfectly down the middle, and I saw this anatomy, and I just saw creation and great and big God is, and I got teary eyed. Don't judge me.
No, that's okay.
But anyways, I came home and I was telling Ryan, oh my gosh, I tell him everything we did, like the procedures and how obsessed I was, and Ryan was freaked out, like, "Are you going to kill me in my sleep?"
Are you? Was that what I was thinking? I don't remember that part. Anyway.
So I get this job offer, we take it. And it was so hard because all our family was in Grand Island. We didn't know. I mean, we had some friends in Bellevue, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were making a big decision, moving our two kids away from their family, everything we've known, out of our comfort zone once again. And we jumped and we moved here with a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old, 7-month-old boy and a new job. Ryan didn't have a job quite yet because, like, I'm the one that got the job offer and we haven't obviously lived there long enough for Ryan to apply. But, yeah, we're just moving our lives.
Yeah, and so we jumped out and we went out on a limb and we felt God was in it and he made it very clear. And it was just a nightmare. From the beginning, in a sense of like, even from the move, our trailer caught a flat and it pushed back. Like, you know, we were on a tight schedule and we only had certain, you know, people were only able to help for a certain time. And that trailer getting a flat tire just pushed it all back.
Yeah, we had a U-Haul and my sister family was helping us with the trailer with a few things. So they had the flat, but...
Yeah, and so it was just kind of a big mess, and we weren't also able to get into our apartment right away, which we weren't expecting. And so I remember it was like Sunday night, and we just had to hurry and just unload stuff, and we just...
By the time they came in and opened our apartment, because there was a miscommunication, so our apartment's locked. We don't have a key. It's a Sunday. Was it Sunday?
Yeah.
And we have family from out of town helping us move, and they have to get back because it's Sunday. So they have to get back to work.
Yep.
So it's a mess.
Yeah. So it was a big mess. Finally, we just basically unloaded everything, but it just was like, just throw it in the apartment.
Boxes,
like, we just got to make it happen
everywhere
because we're in a hurry. And I just remember it was late. You know, our family leaves. It's just us, Shiloh and Cohen. And we still had to go to the grocery store. And it was like 10 p.m. at night. And there was a thunderstorm. So it was like downpouring while we're trying to get groceries in. And I remember like very vividly like walking into our apartment. And it's just completely like disorganized, full of boxes. And like, and I just remember being like kind of scared. Because we took a huge leap of faith and we're just trusting the Lord in this and things don't look really great.
Our family said goodbye and they almost had this look like, I hope you guys did the right thing. I think they even said
like,
that.
Like, are you guys sure
about
this?
Like, okay, well, good luck. I mean, they're leaving at 9 p.m. Good luck. You know, I'm sorry we can't stay and help longer.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, oh man. But, and then, oh yeah, the kicker was you also had to work at like 5:30 in the morning.
I had to start my first day at my new job that next day. Work started at 6. So, and it was like a 25 minute drive from us. So I had to leave at least 40 minutes because I've never driven here. I don't know where it is. So anyways, I have to be up really early. It's 10 p.m. We still have to go get groceries because we just moved in. There's nothing in the fridge. We have two kids.
Yeah.
And I just remember like seeing our empty apartment, it's empty because we just have boxes. Maybe
well,
like
it's full
our
of boxes,
our,
but yeah.
our two couches, but boxes, but nothing's, you know, it's just everything else is empty. It's dark.
Yeah, disorganized.
I guess we had like our one lamp.
Yeah.
Anyways, and you see like our two kids just there, like trusting us. I just remember looking at our kids, and they're just fine because they're happy because they're with mom and dad, but they just trust us, so they're good. And I'm just seeing like this responsibility because I'm the one who's starting this job. You didn't have a job yet because we just moved, but so in the meantime, I feel this weight of like. It's all on me. It's like, you know, it's up to me to make this move worth it, to provide or whatever. And I had to get up early. Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah. And I look at this picture and I think about you in New York, right? Like when you went to New York and got like, if you haven't listened to Karina's story yet,
listen to it.
Yeah. Karina's story. God meets her in the middle of New York away from everything. And I think sometimes that is what it takes. Like, I think it took us getting away from just what we've always known in our family. Sometimes it's just easy to fall back on our family. But when you're just there by yourself in
this
place, out of your comfort zone, you have to rely on God. And I just remember being in that moment, looking around at everything, circumstances and everything. And I'm just thinking like, God, I need you. Like I didn't really know where else to go because everything seems so uncertain and I didn't really know how it was all going to work out. And it honestly looked like, was this a mistake?
Everything felt and almost said this was a mistake. But once again, we were 100% sure what God has said. And something that I've learned about God is he repeats himself.
Yeah.
When God is trying to tell you something or show you something, he is repetitive. So just like keep an eye out, you know, keep an ear open because God tells you things. And God was telling Ryan multiple times when he was in tune with him. And then, you know, there I was like, well, when God tells me and I was, you know, the excuse that I was using, he took care of it and he opened doors right away. So everything was, once again, God told us, but it didn't feel right because everything we saw, everything that was physical was saying no, but everything inside of us and the faith in what we heard and what God was showing us and telling us was saying the opposite.
And this is part of the life upside down. It's when it doesn't make sense, right? And it's like you see the evidence, physical evidence of all this stuff that's going wrong doesn't make sense. But we knew in our spirit, right? That in that place where you can't necessarily feel and grab the evidence or see and grab the evidence, but you feel it and you know when you have that connection with God. And that's that life upside down where you trust in that and not necessarily the physical evidence that you see. And so here we are in this place questioning, is this where God wanted us? And what does it look like moving forward?
Yeah. Well, so then I go to work and I walk into my worst nightmare.
Yeah. Little did we know that it was going to be quite the long road and difficult.
It was my worst nightmare, but it was a huge lesson. I understand now and even after leaving that place, but you know, with time, I grew so much from that place, and God showed me things and I experienced things in that place that was very vital for the next thing that God was going to call me into.
And that's what we're going to get into next time on Life Upside Down. So tune in. You're not going to want to miss it. God has done so many amazing things and we're so excited and we appreciate you. We appreciate your support. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks, guys.